first reading is Psalm 85. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, a psalm. You, Lord, showed favour to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Saviour, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is taken from John 11, starting at verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, he went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher's here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. What a lovely, lovely day. I don't blame people for sitting in the shade. Men of certain age like me, I've put factor 50 on my bald head this morning, so hopefully I should just last. I noticed Glyn Wood sitting in the shade. You know, I'm saying nothing there, but there we go. Today is the penultimate part of our series on restoration, where we are reflecting and looking back over the past 15 months or so. And today we look at the subject of remember. Remembering through this series 23, reflecting on a post-lockdown world, where we go next. But also we look forward, of course, in hope. It's important to remember so we can look forward to the future. It's important that we remember. So I thought I'd play a memory game today so you can remember the contents of a first-class sandwich. I have no idea how this is going to go. I've never done it before, so just bear with me. So, the ingredients of a first-class sandwich. Now, when I'm prepping food, I like to protect my clerical shirt. Some of you have already seen this. I thought I was going to ask Rob, as part of the reset program, we could change the clerical wear of what we wear. So, and maybe have a scooter each as well to go around the Ice Lodge. That would be very, very good. So the ingredients of a good sandwich. You need some salad. Oh, good, this is going to be good. You need some bread. You need some tomato sauce. You need some fiery English mustard. Do the Scots do a version of mustard? Mayo, you do mayo, right. We need some spread, some butter. We need ham. And we need cheese. Okay, so I'll quickly run through them again. Cheese, ham, tomato sauce, mustard, butter, bread, salad. Okay, have you got it? Have you remembered all those? Okay, I'm going to miss one out, and then you have to tell me which one I've missed out. Butter, salad, tomato ketchup, ham, bread, cheese. What's the missing ingredient? Mustard. Excellent. Now, for me, mustard combined with ketchup makes an excellent sandwich, and I try to remember that when I prep a sandwich. So, I'll just put the ingredients back in so they don't all melt. Remembering that and moving on in a community of faith. In Psalm 23, David writes, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and my staff, they comfort me." Of course, David is a shepherd. He knows what it means to tend to the flock. He knows the needs of his flock. The rod is an implement to fight off wild beasts. It was sometimes thrown at wild beasts, sometimes used as a club to protect the flock. And the staff was often used to help sheep out of a thicket or to actually tap on rocks to guide them through a particularly mountainous ravine. And as Christian history's gone on, it's often described as the word of God is the rod, and the staff is the spirit of God. These, of course, direct our way forward. However, we're not called to just bask in this truth. We're not called to just bask in that. We are called to a way forward. To follow the truth is to be able to cry out when things get tough. So let's turn to Psalm 85. It's a psalm of lament, a psalm that allows us to cry out to God. The psalm gives us permission to cry out, and I would suggest it gives us permission to cry out to God and petition God as a community of believers. And that's you and that's me. We need as a community to hold on to each other through our experiences of loss and grief. We can do this through sharing and remembering the hardships that we have experienced. And Ruth Walker gave us a very good example of that, those of you who have seen it. So we'd encourage you forward if you want to share stories of your experiences of the pandemic. Peter Grieg puts it like this: "When we are hurting and the pain seems senseless, we may find it hard to think clearly or pray diligently. But we can still trust, resting quietly in the Father's love for us, receiving the kindness of people as a gift from God." Receiving the kindness of people as a gift from God. Are you ready to receive kindness? Are you ready to be ministered to? Are you ready to be alongside each other? So what does the psalm tell us using the example of God's chosen people, the people of Israel? How does it guide us? Four quick points. Number one, it guides us by remembering former mercies. In verses 1 to 3, we worship a God that has shown favour and restored fortunes. We worship a God that forgives and turns away when he has every right to be angry with humankind. This does not mean revelling in our past glories, as I previously said, but it does mean remembering our past mercies. Not revelling in former glories, but remembering our past mercies. Number two, this psalm guides us by remembering the feeling of estrangement in verses 4 to 7. Have you felt separated from God in this season of pandemic? Do you feel estranged from God? Perhaps that's where you are now. Perhaps it was difficult to actually come down here today. Are you feeling estranged from God? Perhaps some of us feel that God is punishing humankind. The psalmist suggests an antidote for this estrangement. In verse 7, God's delight is in showing us his unfailing love and salvation, bringing life out of death, light into darkness, and joy in the gloom. Number 3, this psalm guides us by remembering the need for reflection. In verses 8 to 9, I will listen to what God the Lord says. How are we listening as a community? Are we listening in our life groups? Are we listening in our personal Bible study? In our prayer time, our time set aside to God, are we listening? Why? Because surely his salvation is near those who fear him. His glory dwells in the land. How can you spend time with God this week? And fourthly, this psalm guides us by remembering God's offer of harmony and concord. The psalmist paints a picture of harmonious, fertile relationship between God and his people. Humankind has been created for a harmonious relationship with God through worship, faithfulness, and love. We can bask in this reality, of course, and perhaps sometimes it's right to do that. But we are also encouraged not just to dwell, but to step forward on a way prepared by God. So Psalm 85 gives us direction. But who is it with us through all of this? Who enables our harmonious relationship with God as we struggle to come to terms with the past 16 months? In short, of course, it's Jesus. In the reading from the Gospel according to John, we can unpack how does our identity in Jesus help us through these times. Jesus wants to be present with us. He interacts with us. He comforts Martha and Mary and weeps in solidarity with the mourners. The writer of John puts it like this: when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Jesus shares in our grief and our struggles as we remember the consequences of this pandemic. His engagement with us is personal. Jesus' timing is perfect. Verse 6 says he waits for 2 days, but Lazarus has been dead for 4 days when he arrives. So it's not about trying to prevent his death, which is understandably a very human response to grief, of course. But there's a bigger picture. The Jewish people of that time believed that the soul stayed in the vicinity for 3 days, hoping to rejoin the body. After 4 days, it was deemed that the situation was hopeless. But through Jesus, there is always hope, always a way forward, always a future. As we remember those affected by the pandemic, how can our timing bring hope, comfort, and light through our loving engagement with others? And finally, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. This account is not primarily about the importance of the miracle itself. This account is not primarily about a standalone event. To see it like that would be to perhaps miss the point. This event is about Jesus engaging with our grief and with death. His first engagement is personal. He weeps. He experiences grief and wants to share it in us right now. And then he brings hope and resurrection through defeating the death's grip on Lazarus, and ultimately by defeating death itself through the cross by his resurrection. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? So yes, Jesus demonstrates his divinity, authority and power over death, but also shows us a symbol of the coming resurrection promise. The promise that says, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. So, as we remember and reflect on our experiences during this pandemic, our lost freedoms, our lost special occasions and moments, our loss of relationships, the death of loved ones, the loss of finance and jobs, let's promise ourselves two things: to mourn together and to remember together, because we are all people with the promise of resurrection and eternal life. We should also ask ourselves a couple of questions before I close. Number one, what difference does the promise of resurrection and eternal life make in our own abilities to digest and cope with the consequences of the past 15 months? In short, what does your faith mean to you right now going forward into a post-pandemic world? How are you going to hang on to that faith? How are you going to engage with others? How are you going to read his word? How are you going to pray? And how are you going to join as a community here at the Church of Christ the King? And at the end of this marathon of a pandemic, how can we be with those and offer the good news that Jesus has defeated death to the people who are living with no eternal hope? And let's remember today, tomorrow and always that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If we believe in him, we will live even though we die. And whoever lives by believing in him will never die. Amen.